Oh, beautiful. Oh, holy night. Don't we love that? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke, the second chapter. Not surprising. So we read verses 1 through 7. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Will you bow with me as we pray? Lord, I pray that you would make this Christmas a time of renewal. It's been a difficult year. Many have had to sacrifice, and we've had to fight off the anxieties and worries of both health issues as well as the economic impact. And Lord, how desperately we need a new start, a renewal. But we know the answer to all of our situations are not found in worldly things, but in the Savior who came to bring peace on our earth. Bring peace into our hearts. And we pray that we would open our hearts and acknowledge that not only were you born in Bethlehem years ago, but when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, you were born into our hearts to live within us, to bless us, empower us, to fill us with the joy we sing about and the peace that Christmas brings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would assume most of you are probably familiar with the little booklet, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. I discovered that while traveling, while we were still in Asia, in an excerpted edition in a magazine. I was reading on an airplane, and I'm sure the passengers around me wondered why I was just laughing out loud and hysterically and then crying in the next moment as I read through it. And I came back and shared it with our children, with my family, and read it at Christmas time. And they enjoyed it so much that it became a tradition. Every Christmas, they wanted me to read The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Now, it wasn't because the story itself, they were so familiar with it, it was just hearing it all again, but the entertainment was seeing Daddy just break up in laughter or either just crying emotionally and unable to continue. And even after they were married and our grandkids come along, whenever we gathered, they insisted I had to read The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. It begins, the very first paragraph, about the herdsman's kids. Their mother worked two jobs. They didn't have much supervision. And the first paragraph just begins, the herdsmen were absolutely the worst kids in the world. They lied, stole, smoked cigars, even the girls, talked dirty, hit little kids, cussed their teacher, took the name of the Lord in vain, and set fire to the neighbor's tool shed. Well, that's kind of the beginning. They weren't church kids. But somewhere in school, they heard and picked up the rumor that there were cookies in Sunday school. And they showed up at Sunday school. Well, it was just before Christmas, and everyone was talking about the Christmas story and was incredulous when they found out the herdmans didn't know anything about that Christmas story. The birth in a manger and the angels and the shepherds, and they were just totally intrigued as they heard the story. And then the discussion was moved toward the annual Christmas pageant in which the children were to fill all of the characters of that story. And immediately, Imogen wanted to be Mary. And Ralph, her brother, wanted to be Joseph. Well, now this was a problem because Alice Wildeken, the daughter of the director, had always been Mary. And the pastor's son had always been Joseph. And so Imogen and Ralph had volunteered for it, and Ms. Wildeken said, well, Alice, don't you want to be Mary? And she, with her head lowered, very intimidating, said, no, I don't want to be Mary this week, knowing she would get beaten up by Imogen if she opposed her. And not only that, but there Leroy and Clyde and Ollie wanted to be the three wise men. And so everybody began to get worried about that Christmas pageant. Well, the rehearsals didn't go very well, and there was debate about whether or not to even cancel it and follow through with it, but they took the risk and went ahead with it, and, you know, with some improvised and ad-lib things that weren't planned to happen, when Gladys, one of the angels, appeared on the scene to say, fear not, she jumped into the set saying, Shazam! You know, which her comic books had already expressed that kind of epiphany that someone would come. And then when she got in a fight with two of her sisters as they were singing Peace on Earth, you know, it just kind of deteriorated from that. And then Imogen and Ralph comes in, bringing the Christ child to the manger with the doll that was to represent Christ thrown over her shoulder, dragging by a foot. One just too reverent and so forth. And when the wise men came in, everybody was amused and began to snicker when Leroy was carrying a big ham, which everyone recognized had been in the grocery basket that the church had provided for the family. And he explained later he wanted to give Jesus something useful, not just an empty little tin box that had been sprayed gold. What use is that? And so that was the Christmas pageant. And it wasn't really at this occasion, but there was one when they were incredulous when they heard that Jesus had been turned away from the inn and in a manger. But it was actually another story that was actually I found in my file that was written. I thought it was in the best Christmas pageant ever, but it actually meant not just a story, that a church was having the usual Christmas present and everybody was getting their part in the pageant. And Herbie, a little special needs challenged child, had never been included and was heartbroken that he wasn't included in a part. And so they decided he could be the innkeeper. And so they just drilled him over and over and over again. You stand right here. And when Joseph knocks on the door, you just open the door and just say, no room. And they practice and practice. He just did it perfectly. But there was something about that night with the crowds there, with the lights, with the music, with the everyone dressed up in their costumes and so forth that seemed to, you know, it really made a difference there. And when the knock came at the door as Joseph and Mary entered the manger scene, he opened the door and his lip began to quiver. And he just stood there, and you could hear the director off the stage whispering, no room, no room. And finally, he gained his strength, stood up straight, and gruffly said, no room. But as Mary and Joseph left and remembered the appeal of his wife being pregnant with child and there needing a place to stay, you saw the tears coming down for his eyes. And suddenly he burst out that door, chasing them, said, come back, you can have my room. You can have my room. Well, some said it ruined the Christmas pageant. But others said, no, it was the best Christmas pageant ever. Well, the role of the innkeeper, he's gotten a bad rap, you know. In fact, the Bible doesn't even mention the fact of an innkeeper. It just says there was no room, simply no room in the inn. place for them to stay. Well, it shouldn't be surprising because of all the crowds having to go to the few select places of their historical legacy where their family had originated. And you know, over the generations, those families multiply. And so there were crowds and pilgrims in Bethlehem coming because of the census that had been ordered. And we need to really kind of dismiss from our minds some of the images and fantasies of what that was. It wasn't like a Holiday Inn or even a Motel 6. An inn in those primitive days was just kind of like an open barn. You know, just kind of a house, and there were just floor space, and people would just come and roll their mats out on the floor, and it was dirty, and all kinds of smelly people and from the camel trains and, riffraff from who knows who they were, just all gathered and there and laying out, sleeping all together in a big, big open space. And what kind of place would that be to give birth to a baby? And the glaring eyes and a public spectacle right in the middle of all of that crowd, you realize how gracious God was for him to be born in a barn, isolated, shelter over them. No glaring crowds and public spectacle and celebrating and drinking and going on in conversation and with soft hay for comfort. And surely the animals, the cows and the goats and the donkeys, creatures of God, were struck with a special reverence that night in the quietness when Jesus was born. You know, it's really special there wasn't room in the inn. But actually, on reflection, the reality is there that they were turned away. There was an innkeeper. And we shouldn't jump to the conclusion that he was selfish, he was arrogant, he was unfeeling, that he was wicked for turning away Jesus. I mean, he didn't know. He was probably a Jew that, like others, knew of the hope of Israel, that a Messiah had been promised and that one would come. But he didn't have any way of knowing who this was. I mean, it was just a peasant couple like many who had come through and his place was already packed. And at least he did show sympathy in offering accommodations in the stable behind the inn. But like many of us people today, he was probably preoccupied. You know, probably late at night when they had arrived and he was busy. I mean, business, overflowing crowds. He was probably counting his money and thinking how fortunate in this occasion of the census and they're being forced to come that he had business like he had never had before. And here were just a crowd and revelry going on in the inn, probably like a high school reunion, you know, friends that had been dispersed and hadn't seen each other in years, getting together and catching up and just having a good time. And he was just celebrating and counting his fortunes when there came that knock at the door, and they were turned away. Well, later that night, I don't know if he was awakened by a baby's cry, if the light that shone in the manger or in the sky was observable or aroused them from their sleep, or if there was this faint sound of a heavenly chorus being sung on a faraway hillside, but soon shepherds in the middle of the night were crowding into the alleyways and animals were beginning to stir. And you wonder if he knew, if he was aware of what was happening. Certainly not the significance of it, but I wonder if maybe 30 years later, when this young prophet preaching, the crowds begin to gather, there was debate and controversy whether or not this was the promised one, whether or not this was the multitudes were following him. If he began to think in his mind and been calculated, the baby that was born in his stable, could this have been him? I doubt if he really knew. We don't really know, but the point is, it reflects our perception of an innkeeper who didn't have room for Jesus, who turned him away. May or may not be reality, may be somewhat of a fantasy that we've built up over the years, but it does reflect the attitude of many as we celebrate Christmas. You know, the world crowds in. There's a mad rush for things and buying gifts and shopping. And Bobby and I went out and got into that this week just for the sake of that's what you do on Christmas. Didn't buy anything. We didn't need anything. We send our kids money. They don't, you know, we wouldn't presume to know what they needed or wanted, or they appreciate the money more than anything. So it's kind of gotten easy for us. But just to be out there with the Christmas shoppers, the decoration, the music, and so forth. People buying things they don't really need, their family doesn't really want. Material things that are going to perish. Instead of the real meaning of things that last for eternity. You know, we approach Christmas often with looking at the bottom line and trying to balance our budget and hoping our business profits by the end of the year accounts. And as we accumulate the debts and shopping, I read a recent item that more than 30% of people don't pay off their Christmas debts, you know, until several months into the new year, and about 12% don't pay it off even when the next Christmas rolls around. As we just conform to the worldly traditions of we've got to pick out something nice beyond what we afford, and we see the TV specials, and I have to acknowledge a little guilt. One of our teams going to make the football playoffs as we approach the end of the year and anticipating the games on the bowl games on New Year's, you know, and finding it difficult to compensate for a last of socialization because we're used to having parties and being together and celebrating with friends and church and family. And like the interest, it's not because we're wicked, or we intentionally neglect the reason we're celebrating Christmas. It's just being crowded out by everything that is so special that we do in our traditions and no room for Jesus. You know, whatever, for the innkeeper, whatever blame we can put in him, we can assume he didn't know who that unborn child was going to be. But ever since, history will remember him as the one who had no room for Jesus. And let me suggest again that Jesus is knocking at the door. Not for a place to just spend the night. It's not about make room for Jesus in your Christmas celebration. And remember, he's the focus. That Christmas tree is to remind us of the evergreen, of the everlasting life that Jesus brings to us. That those beautiful, colorful lights that we put on it are to remind us that he is the light of the world. In a world of darkness without Christ. And the songs that we sing are to remind us that it wasn't just his birth and coming in Bethlehem, but it's a joy to the world and to make Christ known, and that Christmas is just simply a launching of a testimony of a witness of the Christ who came and the purpose for which he came. But we need to be reminded that it's not just a matter of incorporating worship in our church, in our homes and family gatherings to bring Christ into Christmas. But it's a reminder that he came to live within us, to dwell in us, to schedule in our schedule and our responsibilities and our work and our leisure. I think it's not insignificant that December 25th, which probably wasn't the actual date of the birth of Jesus, it wasn't in the middle of the wintertime that shepherds would be out on the calendar. That was established a long time ago, a couple of centuries later, to kind of conform with what pagans were celebrating in another holiday, that Christians made that the day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So it really wasn't probably December 25th, but that's when we celebrated. And it's appropriately that there is a time designated to remember and to celebrate Christ coming into the world. But the fact that it's just 1 week before we enter a new year, should we not see the significance of that as a reminder of making room for Christ in our hearts as we enter a new year, as we look to a time of transition and turning our backs on a very difficult and past few months in these recent months and year, and looking forward to a new start, a new opportunity, a better life, maybe a job promotion and more prosperity and security for our comfort. Is it not significant that we celebrate Christmas to prepare us for that renewal as a reminder of the Christ who was born and has come into our hearts? You see, he's no longer hidden in the darkness of his mother's womb. We know who he is. We know that he stands before us as the crucified Savior, as our living Lord, with the power to save, with the power to give meaning and purpose and blessing to our life, that gives meaning to our Christmas traditions and bringing abiding joy and peace to us. Remember Revelation 3:20, which is often used in our evangelistic witness in appealing people to consider following Christ. And the scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." You know, it's an invitation to make room for Jesus. And many people haven't made room for Jesus in their hearts. They're our family, our friends, co-workers, our businesses, having Christmas parties perhaps, and others, and they celebrate Christmas. They go along with all the traditions. They're buying and exchanging gifts and singing the songs, but they've never really opened the door of their heart to let Jesus come in, because it's just not a night, a place to spend the night. It's not just a Sunday in which we worship him and adore him and we exalt him and lift him up and welcome him because of his celebrating his birth. But he waits for us to open the door that he might come in and fellowship with us, be a part of our life with us. And the pointed point of that verse that we appeal to people to whom we've witnessed that need to trust Christ is that you have to open that door and receive him. And through faith, you've got to make him your own Lord and Savior. You've invited him to come in. And should not Christmas be that reminder once again? Yes, we need a renewal of being reminded of Christ wanting to come in and fellowship with us and bless us, but that we have to open the door of our hearts and make room for him. I think I mentioned this last week, but one of the most tragic verses in the Bible is John 1:11, that says, "When he came into his own, but his own received him not." Far more tragic than a busy innkeeper that didn't make room for Jesus. But the fact that Israel, his people, did not make room for him. Now, they did not receive him. It had been a long time since the words of prophecy had tingled in their ears, and they had forgotten that he was to be born. As Isaiah told them, it would come as a child to be born. The government, the sovereignty, the authority of the world would be on his shoulders, but they forgot that it was a child that was to be born, and they did not receive him. After the angels had returned to heaven and the skies had darkened again, after the shepherds who did acknowledge him and receive him and worshiped him returned to their fields, and the wise men returned to their country and kingdoms in the east, he was soon forgotten. It was 30 years later when that child emerged and began to reveal himself as the Son of God, as the Savior who came to give us a new life and through him to have peace and joy. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten the birthday that we celebrate? Just because it's December 25th, surrounded by all of the accoutrements of Christmas traditions and so forth, have we forgotten? Has anyone ever forgotten your birthday? Maybe not, but that's not unusual, especially families been married a long time, you know, those special days, they can easily pass. And your wife reminds you at night and you haven't acknowledged it or said anything and brought flowers or a gift. No, that's not a happy occasion. And you don't feel very good when you're not important enough that someone close to you wouldn't even remember your birthday. Well, what's so special about that date? Well, it means I'm special. Somebody thinks I'm special. Somebody is glad that I was born one day. We remember their birthday. But do we remember the birthday of Jesus? It's what it's all about. You know, I remember those children birthday parties that we would have for our children. And, everybody brings a gift to the honored child having a birthday. But what if it was a party that just got kind of turned around and everybody else exchanged gifts and got gifts and the birthday child was neglected and nobody brought them a gift? How do you think they would feel? Well, I've had children cry over a gift they didn't really like or appreciate. But what if they didn't get a gift at all? And what if all of the activities at the party were games that the one having the birthday really didn't enjoy and want to play? It was all about the occasion, just a birthday party, instead of the person having the birthday. So let's put Christmas in perspective this week. We don't have all the programs that we would enjoy and would like to, and the parties and the fellowship, and they're good. But why do we do this? Because we remember Jesus. And because we have a new life in him. But it's his birthday. And it's not just this week, let's make room for Jesus. But let Christmas be a time that we remember when he was born into the world, to remember he's also been born into our life and make room for him. Make it all about him. And giving the gift of your life to him. This is why the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for missions was started at Christmas time. When we give gifts to others, should we not give a gift that would help the world know the salvation that a Savior has come the joy of the world. How appropriate. But it's not just about the celebration and the traditions. It's about your life. And I think each one here can recall that time when Christmas wasn't just a childhood memory of gifts and celebrations, but when he came into your life and when you were born again because Christ was born into your life. But I'm confident there may be those listening to our worship service this morning and listening to our broadcast who may not be here. You're caught up in all the celebrations and the beauty and the activities, the fun and family time of Christmas, but have never welcomed into your life the one who was born for you. Remember the angels? There is born to you in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And realizing this is why we celebrate Christmas, I would urge you to consider making room in your heart for Jesus Christ. And you see, you do that only by opening that door of faith, because he's knocking as he did at the innkeeper's door. He's knocking, ready, wanting to enter your life, to bring you his salvation, to be Lord of your life, so that you can experience the fullness of his joy and peace. And if you'll open the door of your heart in a statement of faith, just saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner separated from God. And I believe Jesus came to die on the cross for my sins. And I want to receive him into my heart and my life. And he'll respond to that faith and come in and be a part of your life. May you receive that blessing of salvation at this Christmas season. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for the Christmas season. For more than at any other time in the year, we're reminded of who you are. That you're the Christ that was promised of God from the foundation of the world, the Messiah who has come. And you're our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. And you were born in a manger and became a man in order to die and bring us salvation and a new life. But Lord Jesus, you're also our Lord. And may this be a time of renewal as we approach a new year, a renewed commitment to make you Lord of our life. And may our celebrations of all of these wonderful traditions that bring such pleasure and joy, happiness to us, serve to bring us closer to you as we make room for you in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. As Mike comes and leads us in a hymn of invitation and commitment, I pray that you'll make that kind of renewal at this Sunday before Christmas this week to make room for Jesus. That's not just for this week and not just for December 25th, but as we enter a new year in our walk with him.
Let's stand as we sing 118, What Child Is This?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where rocks and ass are feet? Jesus Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to mourn. The King of kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and
please be seated. William, you have some announcements?
As most of y'all know most of these facts, but we'll make sure everybody's informed. Thursday morning, Colin received word that his mother had just tested positive for COVID, and he had been with her every day before that. We asked Colin to go get tested. He called me at 5:15 Thursday night, and he was positive also. So we... Personnel committee instructed Colin, of course, to go home, take care of himself. Jeannie had been with him every day all week. So Friday, we told Jeannie she needed to go into isolation also and to not be here today. We have requested her to be tested the middle of this week. And for her, these next 2 weeks, she will work from home instead of here. As you most of you know, if you call and leave a message on our answer machine, it goes directly to her cell phone, and she would know immediately. If you have other need of someone and cannot reach church office, feel free to call myself or Billy Bratcher. Our numbers are in the church directory. Please do not call Timmy. As most of you know, Timmy had shoulder surgery on Friday, and there was more damage than they thought. They were able to repair it all. Patty was in contact with Lori a little bit ago, and Timmy's having some real issues with pain right now, so we need to be in prayer with him. I do ask you as a church to be in prayer for Timmy, be in prayer for the Brumfield family and Colin, but folks, let's really be in prayer for Jeannie. With the other conditions she already has, if she was to get this on top of it, this would be a real struggle for her. I do want to say I appreciate Mike. You know, it's so great to have someone who's willing to fill in and use his God-given talents at a short notice. And I also want to thank Brother Jerry. And talking with him on the phone, we went through all these problems, and you know what he said? Well, William, what do you need me to do for the church? So we thank God. But y'all, let's, through all of this, through the COVID, through the uneasy political climate, just what Brother Jerry said, we're going to celebrate the birthday of the reason of our hope.
All right, we're going to stand. I wish we could still hold hands like we used to, but we can't.